Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Faith Worship Center's weekly sermon. We hope you are inspired and encouraged by this week's message as we all live to bring more of heaven to earth.
Take your hands, hold them like this right now. And just say, "Here I am, Lord. Fill me with your word. Fill me with your spirit. And I just offer myself as a living sacrifice to you, pleasing in your sight." Thank you for loving me. Thank you for seeing me in ways I couldn't see myself. Thank you for seating me in the heavenly places in Christ. And thank you for a cloud of witnesses who is watching all of this. Amen. Oh, good. You can sit down. That's good. So I was going to go with the Beatitudes this morning, and I still might get to it. But during worship this morning, the Lord put something on my heart, and I just said, okay. In all honesty, I didn't even have time to look at the verse, the passage, until I just got up here now when Paul introduced me, and I was holding my phone talking to you guys. So, okay, Lord, you know what's going on here, so let's do this. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy." You guys already read, you already know this passage. "Is the Lord God Almighty." There was one time we went to a conference many years ago, and Sam Hinn was teaching, and he made reference to this scripture, and he said that each time the seraphim would circle the throne, they would get a new revelation of the holiness of God. Each time they would say "holy," it would be a whole new revelation of the holiness of God. I don't know about you guys, but that worship messed me up today. I'm so drunk in the spirit right now. I feel so good in God. I'm so happy to be here in the house of the Lord with you. Do you know that you've been chosen and you've been designated to live in this time frame in history? You're not an accident. You're not some biological idea. Amen. Before the foundations, Ephesians said this, before the foundations of the world were even created, God chose you to be in him. Yeah. Right. How many of you know that means that before you could make any mistakes? Yeah. Yeah. How many of you understand that before you could do anything wrong, he chose you? Before you could do anything right, he chose you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full. Everybody say full.
Full.
Of his glory. All right, before we go on, I'd like you to just stand once again. This is going to be an activation. Because right now, there's a nation at war. And there are peoples at war right now. And I've heard so many people going out, "Pray for Israel, pray for Israel, pray for Israel." And I feel like a lot of the petitions to pray for Israel are filled with more despair than they are filled with hope. And so what I'd like us to do today is I'd like us to fill this atmosphere with hope for Israel and hope for Hamas. Because how many of you understand it only takes one split second for God to change an individual? It doesn't matter how good they are, how bad they are, that he chose us in the beginning, before the earth, before the foundation of the earth were laid, to be in Christ. Jesus even taught us to pray for our enemies. That doesn't mean we don't pray for those that we love. but it means that we can actually prophesy hope into the enemies. Hey, this is good stuff, you guys. This is good. I mean, as far as a Christian goes, we should have no enemies. That doesn't mean people don't like us. It just means we should have none. So, Father, right now we declare for Israel. We declare freedom. We declare peace. We honor your word that says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we just ask, God, that you would just bring peace over that land. Peace over that land of thousands of years of history of conflict and wars. Bring peace, Lord, so that even your enemies hear it. So that even the enemies of God's people hear peace. Be still. Wow. Just go ahead and declare that right now for Israel. Go ahead. Just pray right now. Just pray. The whole earth is full of the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. Whoa. Yes, Lord. There's glory for Jerusalem. There's glory for Israel. There's glory for Hamas. There's glory for these terrorist groups, Lord. Open their eyes. Open their hearts to see who you are. Whoa. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I think there are some things that the Lord has really been leading us in, and one of the things is that everything we do, everything we pray, needs to be filled with glistening hope. There are things that we have in our lives that affect us and cause sorrow and might even cause hurt. But we need to pray with glistening hope. Oh, I love Steve Backlund. The whole earth is full of his glory, and the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So it was probably about halfway during worship that I started hearing this scripture, Isaiah 6. This is a prophet who is not yet a prophet as he's having this encounter with God. He's just a regular guy, and he all of a sudden comes into this prophetic vision, and he's having an encounter with God that is going to literally change his entire life. The house was filled with smoke. So when Cindy got up here for transition, she starts talking about fire. She starts talking about smoke. I'm like going, okay, God, you know, I haven't looked at this passage in a long time, but I'll go with it. Because I believe you're on this. This is a prophetic declaration. By the way, what Cindy was doing when she was doing transition, she was prophesying. She's prophesying to us that we are the fire of this region. Okay. And so this is what he said. Woe is me, I am undone. Have you felt undone by God? How many of you felt undone by God? Yeah, you felt undone. If you haven't, then you probably haven't had the right kind of encounter with him. Because he's going to undo you. He's going to undo some things in us. Chew. I've been undone. Whoa, wouldn't that be a good worship song to sing? I've been undone. I get messed up. I am a wreck. Woe is me, I'm undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah needs a little hope. He needs a little perspective change, and God's going to give it to him. But at this time of this encounter, before he actually gets the call, before he actually hears the call, he's feeling down, and he's feeling out, and he's feeling hopeless. He's looking at his own life. His lips are unclean. He's looking at all the people around. They've all got unclean lips. Wednesday night, when we had our stirring night, we had Steve and Wendy Backlin as our speakers on the video. And oh my gosh, what an amazing teaching. And they were just basically talking about how each of us have concepts and beliefs about ourselves where we have to renew our mind. We have beliefs about ourselves that we need to renew our minds about. We need to start changing our beliefs. I can't change your beliefs for you. You can't change my beliefs for me. But we're each called to change our minds, to renew our minds with the washing of the word, right? Now, there's a reason why God points that out to believers, because even believers need to have their minds washed. Oh, yeah. Listen, if you obviously have grown up in a world for quite a while that doesn't have the instruction of the Lord, doesn't have the concepts of God, doesn't walk by the authority of the kingdom of God or the authority of power, you've been brought up in this world, and if you turn the radio on or if you turn the news on, which, by the way, my opinion about news has changed over the years drastically. I used to turn on the news and believe everything I read. Now I turn on the news, and it's like a gossip column of, I don't know, opinions. And it's possible that the internet is the cause of all this, because there's so many things on the internet. I mean, you can go on the internet and find factual statements that completely oppose one another. It is, you find one thing that says one thing, you find another thing that says another thing. And I feel that there's a great divide that has happened because of this, and I feel like we need to do something as believers. I have this really strong sense about this. There needs to be a return to being a believer. That's not just American. Okay? And there needs to be a return to being an American that's not conservative or liberal, but just American. That makes sense? Anybody have any question about that, sir? I mean, it makes sense to me. It does, because see, what I see happening on Facebook and on Instagram and on various other Twitter, oh my gosh. Whew. It's now called X, but wow. I can only spend a minute on there. I really can. Because my buttons get pushed right away. I get stirred up. Because there's so much aggression against each other. And it's like, what is this? What is this aggression between each other? Why can't we just get along? I have this idea that God, he doesn't even like war. He doesn't like conflict. I have this idea. What would this world be like if there was no war? If there was only peace? Could we get along? Which is exactly why Jesus told his followers, pray this way, as it is in heaven, let it be on earth. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, if there were no wars, it would put the news media out of business. They'd have nothing else to talk about if there were no conflicts and no aggression against others. I'm not against the news media. I do listen to the news, but man, it's so... keep that to myself, I guess. So, some people handle the news like it's actually the gospel. I have news for you. The news isn't the gospel. There is a gospel, and it's a real gospel that Jesus preached. The news is not that. So filter what you hear. Because they're behind the scenes, as Isaiah is having this encounter in a spiritual realm, he's having this encounter with the glory of the Lord that's literally changing his life. There's fire, there's smoke, there's this heavenly presence that's filling the house with the glory of the Lord, and he's having this incredible encounter. And there's no major news network present. And one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it, and he said, "This has touched your lips." Oh, I love this. Cindy, you started talking about fire, and I went right to this. It's like, this has touched your lips. This has touched our lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. Did you hear that? He's getting a calling. He's getting an encounter that's rewiring his very idea about himself. And the Lord is touching the fire to his lips to purify his speech. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And then I said, "Here I am. Send me." This is amazing. He doesn't even know what he's getting himself into. He's just so caught up in the glory. It's like, yes! I volunteer to be sawed in half in a log. And that was the end of his life. That's how it all ended for him. They put him in a log and sawed him in half. Because they could not handle the glory of the encounter that God gave him. And so he said, "Go and tell this people," being that you just volunteered, Isaiah, "keep on hearing but do not understand, keep on seeing but do not perceive." I mean, you know, that's a really hard call to handle. You know what I mean? Isaiah, I want you to go to this people. They're not going to understand. They're not going to hear you. They're not even going to want to see what you have to say, but go to them. How many of you have ever been misunderstood? Anybody here? Yeah. Huh? It's because you raised your hand and you said, "Here I am, send me." What is he saying? God is telling Isaiah, he's basically saying to him, no matter what happens, keep to your call. Keep to this moment of glory that I'm giving you right now. An impartation is coming. Keep to it. And then he reveals that everything is going to fall apart. Now, I want to be very clear. It's not God causing things to fall apart. Things are falling apart because of Israel's own stubbornness, because of their resistance to hear the truth, because of their logic that was keeping them from seeing who God really was. And God's saying, even in the midst of it, you just keep going. Keep at it. Don't stop. Matthew chapter 5. I am going to go there, and I'm going to go real quick, because I feel like a fire tunnel is in order today. We haven't had one for a while. And Cindy started prophesying fire, and it's like, okay, let's have a fire tunnel too. We'll do that too. Matthew chapter 5, and this is in keeping with the Beatitudes that we were on before. We've had all these wonderful speakers that have come through. Verse 10, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy and blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all sorts of evil things and false things against you. For my sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Happy are you when they say all sorts of false things about you. I don't know about you, but I don't like being lied about to others, gossiped about. Interesting thing about public speaking is I am aware that every time I say something, it's going through a filter that you have had your whole life to hear things the way you think you should hear them or the way that you think they're being said. And this has gotten me in a lot of trouble. Your filter has gotten me in a lot of trouble over the years. Not just my speaking, it's your filter. It's a dual thing. There's a speaking that's going on, and there's a listening that's going on. And the two need to be in relationship with one another of trust. And if that trust gets violated, then it gets misunderstood. What's being said gets misunderstood. And maybe what's being said gets said the wrong way. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not perfect in my speech. Are you guys? My wife is. But we're growing, and we're on a journey, and we're learning to move into that which God is aligning for us. Because you know what, you guys? He's doing great things today, and there are mighty things that are happening today. This is an exciting day to live in. And if you're, you know, if you're walking around with your hand in front of your eyes to not see the things in the spirit, and all you can see is your natural, you're going to miss what he's doing. And if you're wanting to only have the praise of people and the praises of others, when I was in Bible college, I used to hear this preach all the time. When someone gives you a compliment about your sermon, says that's a good sermon, just smell it. Don't swallow it. Smell it like it's a nice perfume, but don't digest it. Keep your priorities lined up with God's calling and God's glory in your life. Trust as I trust you. And I trust this church. I've trusted this church for years to be a church with a great mission and a great vision to go forward in New England, to transform this region. I look out and I see you, and I see many of you. You have friends that I probably will never know. And you have an inroad to those friends that I probably never will have. But that inroad for you is transformation and change for that friend. Now, maybe your friends don't need to be changed. And the beautiful thing about me and you is that God really loves us. It's like he really loves us. What matters is that he likes us. What matters is that he loves us. We're in this together, you guys. Look around this crowd. None of you look alike. You're all different. You all have a different encounter that you've had with God. And that encounter leads you places that others sitting in this room can never go to. Jesus turns right around after he talks about how if you're persecuted, if you're spoken bad against, if there's false things said about you, be happy, you're blessed. He doesn't say that your reward is the kingdom of heaven. He says that you are persecuted because of the kingdom of heaven. And then he does this. He says an amazing thing. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Was Jesus painting a picture that there's no hope for you if you lose your flavor? No. He wasn't painting that picture at all. He was just saying, don't lose your flavor. And if you feel unflavored, how do you get reflavored? Fire tunnels. Okay. That was funny. No, you just come back. Come home to where all the flavor is. And if you're the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And what is he doing here? He's establishing identity. Your identity isn't in being persecuted. Your identity is in being the light and the salt of the whole earth.
Thanks again for listening to this week's message. If you'd like more information about our church, visit faithworship.org.